Today we hang out with our return guest from episode 130, Jiří Sahovský in Prague. Jiří is the founder of the Prague Homeopathic Academy and the author of several books on the topic of autopathy. For our new listeners, autopathy is when we make a homeopathic preparation from our body's own substances such as saliva, sweat, stool, menstrual blood, and more. So Jiří in his work has found a person's saliva and the breath to be the most effective. All of Jiří's books, as well as his patented autopathy bottles, are available at www.autopathy.com. I hope this episode inspires you to try this form of homeopathic treatment for yourself, either as a home user or as a practitioner for your clients. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we have a lovely return guest, which so many of you just send me emails about the episode and found it so fascinating. It is the lovely Jiří Sahovský from Prague. Welcome to the show, Jiří.
Thank you for your invitation.
It's a pleasure. Now, can you please just pronounce your name correctly for our listeners? Because I know I butchered it. How would you say your name in Czech, just so we can hear it correctly?
So my name is Jiří Sahovský.
That's beautiful.
Because I know that other nationalities don't speak Czech. So I don't persist that it must be said like this.
It's lovely.
It's okay. Jiří Sahovský.
Okay, we'll go with that. Now, your episode on autopathy on the podcast really was mind-blowing for so many people, and so many homeopaths messaged me afterwards and with photos of your book and saying that they're getting into autopathy and they're going to be using it in their clinic. I'm really excited to have you back today just to talk a little bit more to us and go a little bit deeper into things. So where do you want to start this episode off with? What other things can you share with us about autopathy?
It's very large area of knowledge, which is partly similar to homeopathy because it has developed from homeopathy in my practice, not only in my practice, but also in Hahnemann practice, which is less known, but there exist records in his books of cases that he used also diluted saliva in the case where homeopathic remedies failed. And he was successful, but he was very old and he didn't have time to develop this completely new method. So it's now a task
it's
for
now
us.
It's up to maybe. You.
Yeah. So it's a large area and the method is apparently simpler than homeopathy because in homeopathy you must know a big amount of information about remedies and computers and the methods and all this together. While in autopathy it's sometimes sufficient to read only one thin book having only 240 pages. And I have feedback from people who used the method that they were successful after reading so few pages. So it's something surprising. And for the first look, somebody can think that it's downgrading homeopathy because we can reach the same results with much less knowledge. But it's not true. It's not true because I practice it for 20 years and it has really so many tiny secrets and tiny knowledges hidden under this simple picture of autopathy that it's very difficult to describe it in 1 hour meeting. So I think it can be compared, for instance, to Chinese pulse medicine, pulse diagnosis, where somebody says it's very simple. He holds the hand and knows what's going on. But it's not true. It has many tiny aspects which are known only to experienced practitioners and educated practitioner. So I organize courses in homeopathy, in homeopathy too, but we speak about autopathy, special courses for autopathy, and special courses for advanced autopaths, for instance, counselors in autopathy. We have also special courses for advanced people. So we have some grades of the education, and people progress from the first to the second to the third and to the education for advanced. So it can be very dangerous for autopathy to apply a kind of simplicism, to say it's very simple, spit, dilute, and you will be healthy. It's nonsense.
Interesting.
A development which is usually similar to well-selected homeopathic, holistically selected remedy, to similimum. So we see hearing loss of cure clearly appearing during the process and such things. So it's still homeopathy because we use highly diluted information from the nature, because our body is also part of nature. And we also use hearing loss of cure, and we use all rules contained in Organon of Medicine by Hahnemann. So it's still homeopathy, but we use homeopathically diluted information from the body of the person to be treated.
So when would you use these remedies? And the way that you, I mean, people can listen to our first episode where you talk about how you prepare them with your special flask that you've made. But how would you know what potency to use? How often would you give it? I guess this is all the types of stuff that you learn in your training. And also, can people do this training online from anywhere in the world, or is it only offered in Czech Republic?
It's possible to treat people also online, as well as most of my lectures are only online, resulting from the pandemic, of course.
Mm.
And so all this is possible because it's an interview, as well as in homeopathy, only interview. And we gather information from the client about his state of mind at the first, and the state of the body, and we are especially interested in their feelings. We are much less interested in their diagnosis given by doctors. But it's also classical homeopathy, which is of this kind. So it's nothing new for us. Yeah.
So if somebody comes to see you for a case, like, would you just give them an autopathic remedy straight away? Or when do you use it? Do you use it in every case or only in some of your cases?
First of all, I don't call it remedy because it's a completely different thing. It's a spiritual information. I would like to remind paragraphs 9, 10, 11, and 12 in the Organon, where Hahnemann clearly states that even homeopathy is a spiritual method of treatment. And all depends on the vital force, which is spiritual, and also essence of the man is spiritual essence. And Hahnemann also says that all diseases come from a disturbance of vital force. So we treat vital force, not the man. I treat the man, not diseases, says Kant. James Tyler Kent, the classic of homeopathy. And he means the inner man, of course, which is spiritual man. It's very important. I think it's very good to remind these basic principles of homeopathy. And I was always aware about them, also before I discovered autopathic principle. And I think that it's also very important for the future of homeopathy, because homeopathy is attacked now by materialists saying, what is healing in your sugar pills? And Hahnemann clearly states, what is it? It's a spiritual healing property of the raw substances. And the same is also here. So we don't treat by saliva, but by the tiny imprint which is given by the soul of the man to the saliva, because saliva was created by this essence of the man. And that's why the saliva contains information about vibrations of our inner fine matter, I say, or spiritual inner ruling principle, organizing principle. Yeah, I think very important to have it always in mind when we speak about autopathy. Because in homeopathy, if you take a sugar pill, the sugar pill as patient, the sugar pill still looks as other remedies, corticosteroids and all these remedies are very similar shapes, have very similar shapes. But if you prepare in a glass tool the high dilution of your dilution of your saliva or breath even, then you there is for sure that it's something intangible, immaterial, and therefore spiritual. Most people really, if somebody is really materialist in his basic belief, which these people are among homeopaths very rare, I believe, then he cannot do it because he clearly sees that the saliva disappeared and is not anymore present in the glass during the process of dilution. But we dilute it more and more and more, and we can reach even homeopathic potencies of 10 mm or 50 mm, some people do, and it works. And in this moment, it must be clearly said that it's a spiritual kind of healing as well as homeopathy, of course.
That's amazing. So are you still seeing clients, or are you just lecturing? I mean, not just lecturing, but
I lecture every week, and I also have every week clients, which are partly physically present in my consulting room and partly on internet, of course.
Oh, wow, amazing. And
so I have full practice.
Wow. How many of those clients would you give an autopathic remedy to, or do all of them get it, or just some of them?
You ask how many during the time? From the beginning?
Oh, and it's just these days. Like, would you?
I can estimate it was 1,000 or 1,200 or something like that.
Amazing.
It's my estimation, but my experiences are not derived only from my practice, because it comes also from conferences, for instance, where we meet annually every year since 2008. Mm-hmm. So now in January, it was the 15th conference, and there are usually about 12 or 15 speakers. And all of them are practitioners which have large experiences and gather these experiences. These are usually case analyses which are on the program of the conference. And there we teach from other people how to proceed in similar cases, similar states, which are presented to us by our clients. So it's a huge amount of sharing. The last conference was international. There were also practitioners of autopathy from the US and Canada. And it was in a Zoom, of course. There were about 130 participants.
Wow. And so it's just an autopathic conference. It's just just based. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Only autopathic conference. We speak only about autopathic cases.
Oh,
and
that is
most
incredible.
Of counselors also practice only autopathy. Some of them also homeopathy, because I teach autopathy together with homeopathy at my homeopathic school in Prague, but much more people attend my special courses on autopathy. And it can easily be forgotten.
And it's interesting that you say that Hahnemann used it as well, because that's not something that we get told about.
You find a record about it in Rima Hendley's book, Homeopathic Love Story. It's a British homeopath and the historian of homeopathy. The book was published by Atlantic Books in America in original.
Cool.
So it's very useful to read it, because there are cases from Hahnemann's practice from the period when she was living in Paris, and which was very fruitful.
So Yuri, what sort of cases have you found that autopathy responds best to? Like, would you use it in all cases, or are there just some that you find particularly respond well to this?
I use almost solely autopathy, only in a special case. Sometimes it happens that during autopathic process, you see more clearly the constitutional remedy, which was covered by new symptoms caused by allopathic medicine, for instance, etc. So it's very difficult sometimes to find the right similimum for the person. But during the process, it's much better seen what is it. So if I see during the process that, for instance, sepia would be the best homeopathic remedy, I add it, and I can alternate this autopathic preparation, and they can cooperate very well, very well. They can support each other, really.
And so, are there like certain conditions? Like, have you found that particular conditions respond better to homeopathy than others? So, for example, arthritis or migraines or Crohn's disease or thyroiditis, or are there particular conditions?
Yeah, we have used different kinds of autopathic preparation for different states of body and mind. And we have very simple rule for it, that if the main problem concerns, for instance, digestive tract, then we use saliva, including bowls and or something in mouth or anything of this kind, or the stomach, then we use saliva. And we usually boil it if there is an inflammation present, or candida, symptoms of candida, for instance, any kind of inflammation. So we boil it. If there is involved as the main problem respiration tract, then we use boiled breath. And boiled means that we boil it for 30 seconds in the vortex chamber of the autopathy bottle. And then we dilute it. It's analog to the adding alcohol to the substance before diluting in homeopathy. But boiling is better, because it doesn't bring new information to the preparation, while alcohol does.
That's interesting. I think I was saying to you that I just, out of sheer desperation with my poor husband, I think we chose each other in this lifetime, because I have a very strong constitution. I don't really, I've got a bit of an achy left hip, but that's about it for me. And and my appendix ruptured last year, but that's about it. But he has lots of like chronic health issues that, you know, we're constantly working on for him. So I'm always on the search for, you know, answers. And so in pure desperation yesterday, I said to him, spit in this glass, and I made a remedy for him from it. But I actually did put a bit of vodka in it, just because the saliva was quite viscous. So just a little bit of vodka, just kind of make it a bit more liquid. And then I took one dose of that and I added some water and I diluted and succussed it. So I don't know if it's going to work, but this is me just pulling my hair out of my head going, okay, take this. We'll see if it does anything.
Yeah, but I think it's much safer to observe really rules given in my book, which I wrote about after 15 years of practicing, because I used different approaches and I was really experimenting a lot, and hundreds of my students also were experimenting. And we were communicating about it, and we know what is better, what is the best, and what is completely wrong and doesn't do anything. So it's better to observe what we found instead of experimenting, because it could then take other 15 years to find the right way.
No, I completely agree. I just need to. I have got a real problem, because with all these homeopaths that I've interviewed on the show, I have a list of like a gazillion books that I need to read, including yours. And I also need to still find out where I can get an autopathy bottle from, where I can order it from, because I really want to make my way through all your books, get an autopathy bottle and start playing with that in my clinic. But I need to also find out how to get more time in my day, because there, 24 hours is not enough. I need at least like 100 hours a day to get everything done I want to do.
Yeah, but the autopathy bottle is easily accessible and on the internet, and it's not so big problem. But I think it's also possible to experiment with vodka not boiling and with...
Well, you've already done the experimentation, so I'm happy to follow your advice. Yeah, I just need to actually go and read the book.
It's fine. I was experimenting all my life, so I understand you very well.
Well, I'm not somebody that usually likes to reinvent the wheel. If somebody's already done it, I will usually just go and do that. But it was, like I said, it was sheer desperation yesterday. I was like, that's it, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, it's possible. But the best, as soon as possible, to use what's recommended in my books, because these books were not created overnight, but during many decades, in fact, of my busy practice and also busy contact with other autopathy practitioners in mostly in my country. But you find at our website, autopathy.com, also case analysis from America, for instance, and very surprising.
And is autopathy.com the best place to buy the books and the autopathy bottle? Is that the best place?
Yeah, it's the source of knowledge as well as material necessary for it. Yeah.
And you ship worldwide as well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, easy peasy. Okay.
Worldwide. It's shipped worldwide.
I just need to get my A into G then. I don't know if you have that saying over there, but I just need to get my A into G.
There is no problem if you live in Australia, Africa, or anywhere else. It's still very well accessible.
So can you maybe talk to us a little bit about the preparations made from the chakras?
Ah, from chakra.
Oh,
yeah.
Chakra. You said chakra.
Oh. Yes, international work, of course. Okay, chakra work. It's another difference from we use the spiritual body or the astral body. It's called in Europe, for instance, and in India, chakras, or in Asia. And I cling to this term chakra. These are energetic or fine matter centers of the man, and the most important is about 15 centimeters over the head, outside of the body. And in all physical preparations, from saliva, from the breath, or we can also prepare autopathy preparation from the stool, for instance, in cases of some problems with bowels, for instance. So all this physical information is spiritualized, in fact, the unmaterialized by the process of homeopathic delusion, and then it's put on the sixth chakra. It's between eyebrows on the forehead, where is the highest bodily chakra. And the importance of the chakras, or hierarchy of chakras, is that the highest is most important and contains also information from subdued chakras, which are
from the
lower
ones. Okay.
Yeah, so we can also not only put it on the sixth chakra, the final preparation from saliva, for instance, and the information is then by nadi and meridians distributed to the body, to all organs, and we know it, observing the effect, so it's happening really. And we also can prepare it directly from the seventh chakra, which holds the perfect picture of the healthy man. But we are untuned, our bodily system is untuned to the reception of the information from the seventh chakra. And this is also the effect of autopathy, to connect us with the higher organizing part of the man. If the connection is diminishing, then we become ill, and we can even die, and we die finally, all of us, of course. But we know, for instance, from YouTube, there is many witnesses about the near-death experience, that they, after car accident, for instance, they observed their body laying on the ground, and they had normal, healthy body. And they were very surprised to seeing their body completely broken on the asphalt. And it is because there is complete perfect picture which is materialized in the body. So we can call it a spiritual view on homeopathy. I know that some homeopaths completely dislike this kind of speech, and I apologize to them, but I say...
Don't apologize, they also, just need to open their also, minds.
Yeah, okay. But it can be useful even for them. I don't speak with my clients about any spiritual background of it. I don't speak about it because they know that when they prepare in the glass tool, the autopathy preparation by the vortex dilution, that it's immaterial. They know it, so it's not necessary to explain it.
Really cool. And like, this is something that anybody as a home user can do as well, right? Like you were saying, it's not bringing in any new information. It's all information that is already within in the being. And so you can't really, it sounds like you can't really have aggravations, can you? Like, do you see many aggravations with autopathy?
In my first books, I was speaking about aggravation, and I were comparing it with homeopathic aggravation. But now, gradually, I found that this is something very different because if people come with multiple different diseases in mind and body, it's normal that people come with 12 diseases, 12 diagnoses from mind. And in this situation, they have a gravity of the pathology. So they cannot be healthy from the beginning of autopathic process. It can take really time. And some people need longer time, other people need only relatively short time. It's very different. People differ very much. I use in my books the word karma about it, because it's the hidden state of mind and body, which is completely unknown to us. Sometimes it happens that a child with only superficial problem, atopic eczema, goes ahead very slowly, and it's a complex development. In spite that there is good vitality caused by the young age, and it's only superficial. But I have also cases, one of them is described in my autopathy handbook, and it's about a woman. She came to me with polycythemia vera, an incurable disease of blood creation or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and very serious, of course. And she had it for 25 years. And she had also many other problems, including that she wasn't able to walk because very serious arthritis in knees. And she was 87. And after 2 months, we had the first follow-up, and she told me that in hospital they couldn't believe that the papers, her papers are really her, because this polycythemia vera completely disappeared on wow. tests.
Was this and, with a saliva? Or did you
and
use
together, it? And together with it, she could walk
wow.
again.
And did you use the saliva for that case? Or was
it,
that
was boiled,
chakra?
It was okay. boiled breast. Boiled breast mm-hmm. is perfect for any problems with blood mm. and also for arthritis, for okay. any problems with joints. It's boiled breast. And she was taking it once a week, mm. about 2 liters of dilution. It's mm-hmm. about 80 C of homeopathic potency.
Mm.
80 C once a week, and after 2 months she told me this. So it's good karma. Nobody knows why this old lady developed so fast, while the child really caused a lot of work, and it takes much longer time to improve his eczema.
What do you mean by the karma playing a role in this? I don't quite understand that part.
I took it from Indian philosophy, of course, because I take myself as Buddhist, in fact. My basic belief is Buddhist. But I was born in Europe and I had parents and all my surrounding was at atheist, etc. So it's a usual situation in Europe, I think. And the word karma describes the internal state of mind and body, which is hidden to us and which is producing results in form of diseases, for instance, if we got. And karma is not a destiny. It's very important. Very important. It's not destiny. It's simply hidden state of spirit and mind and body.
Okay.
But they exist karmically profitable deeds and things and influences and karmically bad things which downgrade our karma and make our life more difficult.
I was just wondering how that ties in, because I had something really interesting happen where I can't say too much about it, but somebody that I know, to say that, did something illegal in their lifetime, and then they passed away. And it was very interesting to me that that same illegal thing was done to them, to their property after they died. So they did something illegal to somebody's property while they were alive. Then they died, and somebody else, totally unrelated, different country, after their death, did the same thing to their property.
I thought
that was so fascinating, because that to me was, you know, I just assume karma kind of dies when you die off, but it showed to me that that energetic resonance is still, even though your physical body is not here, that energetic resonance is still there.
Yeah. My basic opinion on this is that the man never dies.
Yeah. Well, I saw that with my own eyes, like that with that energy.
It only changes, the awareness only changes and goes to different states. But it's still awareness, and it's impossible to destroy it. But it's possible to make the awareness more painful or more joyful. And these are the karmic influences. And one of them is, of course, apathy, which is clearly has the positive effect on karma, because pain disappears, eczema disappears, allergy disappears, migraines disappears, or the sleep improves. And all these are signs of good karma, of good karmic influence. If you give right homeopathic remedy to your client, you are making good karmic work for your client.
That's really cool, because I don't know if this is rude to ask, Yuri, but what age are you? How young are you? Am I allowed to ask?
Me? Yes, of course. I was 75 in autumn.
Wow.
And I started to practice homeopathy 45 years ago.
Wow.
43 years.
See, I believe when you say that as homeopaths, I think we help our clients get good karma by helping them, but I think we maybe get some too, because I don't know many other professions where people are still practicing professionally into their 70s. And, you know, Jill Turland is 80 and she's still practicing. And this lady, Alvia in South Africa, she was 92 when she passed away last year and she was still giving out remedies on the day that she died, apparently. So I think maybe that's good karma for us homeopaths as well. I hope so. Anyway, I want to practice into my 80s for sure.
Hahnemann lived and practiced till 88.
88, exactly.
So I'm his follower and my goal is to be a similar, to have a similar
trajectory.
Professional.
Yeah.
I don't know if I will succeed, of course.
Well, we'll have a lot of fun on the way, hey?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's very joyful, in fact, because by autopathy, you cannot do any harm. For instance, in homeopathy, if you repeat wrong remedy very often, you can induce proving symptoms, which then disappear after ending the administration, of course. So it's also okay. But in autopathy, it's impossible. Because it's still only the information which was forming you and is forming you now, also without autopathy.
That's cool.
So
I like that.
This is the most similar information in the space, in fact, the information taken from our bodies.
That's really lovely. Yuri, have you got any final message that you want to leave our listeners with? And obviously your website is autopathy.com. Is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with?
I think that any appearance of autopathy on the internet seems to be theoretical. It's theory, but it's necessary to try it. And if you try, then it's completely different and you can follow your own experience simply. So my advice is not to hesitate to try it and evaluate what it's doing.
That's brilliant. It was so lovely to hang out with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. And I hope many more people get your books and get your autopathy bottle. And I am finally, I've got the kick up the bum now to go and place my order. And I want to have a chat with you about getting a bulk order of maybe having a bulk order of the autopathy bottle sent to Australia, because I'm sure there will be loads of our listeners here in Australia that will want to buy some.
All this is possible, and you find information on autopathy.com, which is a source of anything concerning autopathy.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Yuri. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for your invitation for this nice talk.
It's a pleasure. All the best.